First of all, friends, can I thank you for coming here today. I know that the family appreciate your presence here this afternoon. It is a very inclement day, but we hope that you're able to get a dry corner somewhere, or are able to shelter under an umbrella. And we're just so glad that you're here. We thank you indeed for coming. And as I've already said, I know that the family really appreciate your presence here today. I want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Maxwell for coming as well. And they are going to share in our service of Thanksgiving this afternoon. And we look forward to that. You know, it was King David who said of Abner, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" And you know, I believe that text of scripture applies to John Henry, for he was a great man. And we're here to remember a great man. And we're here to give thanks to Almighty God for the life of this great man. Personally, and on behalf of the church, I would like to extend our deepest sympathy to John's wife, Isabel, to his children, Eleanor, Anne, Jim, and John, to his siblings, Billy, Maureen, and Nellie, to his grandchildren, Mark, Stephanie, Jonathan, Aaron, Daniel, Jordan, Charmaine, Sharon, Nicola, Laura, and Robert. And indeed, we extend our sympathy to the wider family circle. We are here to give thanks to Almighty God for the life of Mr. John Henry. He came into the world on the 22nd of June, and he left this world on the 22nd of June. He came into this world, and he left it on his birthday. Born on the same day as he passed away. That doesn't happen to too many people. But that's the way that Almighty God ordained that it would happen for our brother John. And we're just so glad today that he is with Christ, which is far better. I want to just take a moment to thank the doctors and the nurses at Alton Galvin Hospital who cared for John so faithfully and diligently in recent times. Our brother was in declining health, and the family would wish to pass on their thanks to the staff at the hospital and also to the Marie Curie nurses who came to the home and to help ease the burden. And I know that again that the family really appreciates so very much the nurses who came and stayed during the night and helped out in a very, very wonderful way. And so we want to just put on record our gratitude to these good folk this afternoon. Let me just read some scripture verses to you for your comfort. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to turn to the first hymn on our order service, one of John's favourite hymns, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And if you know this hymn, please do join in and let us give thanks to Almighty God as we worship Him in song. Maxwell to come now. He will open our service in prayer and then he will give a tribute to Mr. Henry. Thank you.
Let's unite our hearts together just now in prayer as we ask God for his blessing to truly rest upon us today. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this privilege that we have of coming before you, the living God, the God of heaven, the God of power, might, majesty, and dominion. And Father, we bow humbly before you today, recognizing that you are our God, recognizing that you're the one who gives us health and strength, recognizing, Father, that you're the one who give us life in the first place. Amen. And we thank you, Father, that you're also the one who determines the day in which we will leave this lower world behind. And we thank you, O God, even for this day, while we are sad at the passing of our dear friend and brother and father and husband, we realize, dear Lord, that he has gone to a better place. Yes. He's gone to that place whose builder and maker is God. And we thank you, Father, that we know that because of that day when he bowed the knee to Jesus and trusted you as his own and personal Savior. And so, Father, while there's sadness in our hearts, we thank you that there's comfort to know that he is with Christ, which is far better. Now, Lord, come to us today in this service, in spite of the weather. We pray, our Father, that we will know your help, Lord, and your blessing upon us. And we would particularly remember the family today and ask, Lord, for grace and help. We pray, O God, for Mrs. Henry. We do commit her to you, Lord, and we pray for your strength and your help for your child even this day. We pray also, Lord, for Jim and Eleanor, and we ask you, Lord, for your blessing upon their lives, and John and Anne. Yes. We commend them to you, Lord. Be near to each one of them, and oh, comfort and strengthen and bless them, we pray. And our Father, we ask you for the other members of the family. We commit them all to you, and we ask you, Lord, for strength and grace for each one today. Now, Father, be with us as we continue in our service of worship and thanksgiving for the life of this man that we are glad passed our way. And we trust you, Lord, to help us in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it is an honor for me today to pay a short tribute to John Henry. Ruth and I would express our sincere sympathy to Mrs. Henry, to Jim and Eleanor and John and Anne and the whole family circle. One little verse of scripture that came to my mind was said of Barnabas, the servant of God, in Acts 11 and verse 24. It says, "For he was a good man." He was a good man. And I believe that that sums up the life of John Henry. He was a good man. I got to know John in a mission that I conducted just over the hill in Kerryfree, in the Orange Hall there, in the autumn of 1979. And after that, he became a very faithful and a very dedicated man in the church there in New Buildings. And we thank God for him. Well, John hadn't at one stage much time for God in his life, in his early life. But thank God for a mission that he and Mrs. Henry attended whenever, many, many years ago. And it was conducted by the Faith Mission. And at that mission, both of them, as far as I can remember, sought the Lord as their Savior on the one night. And that was the start for John in the Christian life, and what a blessing that was. And shortly after I got to know him, one morning in the church there in New Buildings, John had a great and a vital meeting with God afresh when he dedicated himself completely to God to have complete control of his life. And I know that that was very meaningful to John. And I believe that that decision changed the course of his life in a very powerful way. And he became such a dedicated servant of God. The pattern of his life was to obey what God told him to do. The Bible described Barnabas as a good man. As I said, this could be said of John. He has now received the commendation, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And what a privilege that is. John, I want to just draw your attention to a couple of things about him this afternoon. And John was a family man. John was devoted to his loving wife and to his sons and daughters. He cared for each member, and I know without a doubt that I heard him pray for his family, and he prayed indeed very earnestly for you. Be assured of that fact. John was also a focused man. John didn't flicker his life away and turn from one thing to another. He was principled. He put his whole heart into everything that he did. He was a worker. When he trained dogs, he put his heart into it and made a good job out of it. When he was a counselor back in the 70s, he worked hard. When he topped the poll in the 70s in the council elections, that speaks for itself how highly regarded he was in the community. He was the main force behind getting water mains laid in rural areas, electricity lines, and all those practical matters. John was a council member for one reason, and that was to try and help the people and the district and the neighbours and friends. For his time as councillor, he remained true to helping all those who were in need. John was also a faithful man. John loved his council work, helping people, until one day in a council meeting. He was at a council meeting whenever the prayer meeting was on in his own church in New Buildings. And John said these words, "The Lord spoke to me and told me I was at the wrong meeting." And friend, from that day forward, he vowed to be at the prayer meeting. And he always did. He was faithful in prayer. John was faithful as a counselor. But when God spoke to him, he recognized that God was the one he had to listen to, no matter what others thought. John was principled. He was faithful to his God. And John's faithful service to God in the church there in New Buildings in those early days, we had missions all around the area. And John was always involved, sometimes sharing in the preaching. He had a mission here, up just over the hedge, where the house is built now. He got us to bring a portable hall there. And his whole desire was that the community might hear the word of God and that people might get saved. He had a great burden for lost people. He wanted to see them saved. He wanted to see them in the kingdom of God. He wanted to see them in heaven. And in addition, for many years, he was a member of our general council of the denomination. And he served on many committees in the denomination very, very faithfully. When a position came up to be occupied, John's name would come up regularly. Why? Because he was dependable, because he was wise, because of his devotion to his Lord and to his Savior. While he preached up and down the country in different places, his main focus was prayer. He was a man of prayer. I love to hear John pray. He prayed for many of you within the sound of my voice today. And his prayer would be that on this, his funeral service, that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John was a free man. John was not bound by the fear of man. He feared God. He was free from the guilt of his sin because he had asked God to forgive him. And today he's free. Free from forevermore, from the very presence of sin. This old world is so full of sin. but he's free from the very presence of sin. And this is not the end of John Henry. Death is not the end. John's death is not the finish. It is but a doorway into heaven itself, to his eternal home in the presence of God forever. His race is over. He has fought the good fight. He has finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to all them that trust in him. This is not the end. Thank God for John Henry. Thank God for the testimony he's left. Oh yes, his life is over here. But friend, he has woken up in the presence of Jesus to be with Christ, Paul says, which is far better. The friend was sympathizing with a lady whose husband had just died. And he said, I'm sorry, you have lost your husband. No, she says, I haven't lost him. I know where he is. Ah, friend, it's good to know that we can know that our relations, our friends, our neighbor is in heaven today. That makes all the difference. Friend, he's with his Savior. The Bible tells us in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And may the Lord comfort all our hearts today. And may each one, particularly the family, know much of the Lord's sweet presence and much of the Lord's blessing upon them. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Robert, for that tribute to our brother. We're so glad to have Mrs. Maxwell with us today as well. And she's going to come just now, and she's going to bring a message in song. Thank you.
Ask me, cause you cares for me. You ask me, does he really care? I answer, yes, I know he cares. I see him there.
Thank you very much indeed, Ruth, for that beautiful message and song. And again to Robert for the tribute that you've brought today, a tribute which our brother John richly deserves. I know it's a very inclement day, and so I don't want to keep you very much longer. But let me take you back, folks, to the 7th of February, 1967. Two Faith Mission pilgrims came to Drumahoe, Miss Stafford and Miss Weir. And that night they preached on John chapter 1 and verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I know that that is a text of scripture that is very dear to, or was very dear to, our brother John Henry's heart. And he stood in our pulpit in New Buildings and preached from that text. And it was a text that he often mentioned and he often quoted. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Whenever we were having a new sign put on the side of the church, the text that was decided upon was this text. And I know that Brother John had an influence, and he made it clear that it was a wonderful text that he felt that we should have there on the outside of the church, so that those who pass by would be able to read of the Lamb of God. A chapter that's very dear and was very dear to John's heart was Isaiah chapter 53. I vividly remember John standing in our pulpit on New Year's Eve 2017, and he recited that chapter. He recited Isaiah 53, all 12 verses, and didn't have to look at the Bible. He knew it off by heart. He had learned it off by heart as a child. You know, Isaiah 53 speaks of the Lamb. It says, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. So, dear friends, as we finish our service of thanksgiving today, let me just talk to you for a few moments about the Lamb. Let me take those four letters in the Word and just bring you a little acrostic today. The first letter, L. Look, the Lord would say to us today, look to the Lamb of God, or the word that's used in Scripture is behold, but it just means to look. The word behold there means to depend on the Lamb of God. I know that John Henry, since the moment he was saved in 1967, he was depending on the Lamb of God for his eternal salvation. I wonder, are you depending on the Lamb of God? Have you looked to the Lamb of God? Is your faith in him? Our brother Robert has mentioned today about how dependable John was. But I want to tell you, folks, that the Lord Jesus is dependable. You can depend on the Lamb of God. He can take the full weight of your sins, and he's willing to forgive you, to give you a new beginning and a new start today. Look to the Lamb of God. That's what the hymn writer said. Look to the Lamb of God, for he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Second letter in the word Lamb is the letter A. That reminds us that he's alive. The Lamb of God is alive today. We're so glad that our brother John is alive. He's very much alive today. In fact, he's more alive than ever he was. He's with the Lord in heaven, enjoying everlasting life in all its fullness. But I want to tell you and remind you today that the Lamb of God is alive today. Jesus Christ has come back from the dead. He's the one who's living today. That's good news for every one of us, because a dead Savior couldn't save anyone. A dead Savior could not restore anyone. A dead Savior could not keep anyone. But we're glad today that the gospel message tells us in no uncertain terms that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen. Unlike all the other founders of world religions who are in their grave today, not the founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ lives. The Lamb is alive, and you need to look to him today. We're reminded in Revelation 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. He's standing today because he's alive. The third letter, M, reminds us that he's the mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Lamb is the mediator between God and man today. John Henry loved his cricket. He was a big cricket fan. And in a cricket match, of course, you've got the umpire in the middle. He's the man in the middle. You know, the Bible calls the Lord Jesus the Deus Man. Just means mediator, or we could translate it umpire, the man in the middle. Jesus is the go-between, and he's the one who reconciles fallen man with the holy God. He's the mediator today. And in our text of scripture, it tells us that he's the one who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the great work of the mediator today. And we invite you to look to him, to put your faith in him. Put your faith in John Henry's Savior. Well, let's finish. B, of course, stands for blood. John Henry often mentioned the blood in his preaching. He often mentioned the blood in his praying. Just a few days ago, I was given a number of copies of little articles that John submitted to the local newspaper each week. A little thought for the week. And I was just reading through them last night, and time and time again, there was mention made of the blood of the Lamb and the need for sinners to put their faith in the blood of the Lamb. We invite you today at the end of this service, a service of thanksgiving, to do just that, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that's the text of Scripture that John was saved through in 1967. It's the text of Scripture on the side of the church. Text of Scripture that was very dear to the heart of our departed brother. But let me finish today with a very, very short story, a true story of the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. On one occasion, Mr. Spurgeon was holding a campaign in the Crystal Palace, and he went a few days beforehand just to test the acoustics. And he stood up on the platform and looked out over an empty auditorium, or at least he thought it was empty. And he cried out, John chapter 1, 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Little did Mr. Spurgeon know that there was a workman in the auditorium who was there to repair something. And the man wasn't saved, but he heard that great text of Scripture, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And that text of Scripture never left him and kept ringing in his ears. And through those great words, the man was saved. Be wonderful, friends, this afternoon at the service of thanksgiving for the life of John Henry. If you were to be saved, and if you were to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're going to finish today with our second hymn. Again, it was one of John's favorite hymns. "A friend of Jesus, oh what bliss, that one so weak as I."
Friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss!
We will be making our way to the cemetery at Glendermot Presbyterian Church. But let me just thank you for coming again this afternoon. And let us just commit ourselves to the Lord as we leave the family home. Let us commend ourselves into the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Our dear God, we thank you for this service of thanksgiving today and every part of it, for these favorite hymns of Mr. Henry, for the tribute that has been paid to him, for the message and song, and for your precious word. We just want to thank you, dear Lord, for all that we have heard today. And we pray that each one of us may think and consider seriously these important matters, these matters that are indeed most important of all. And we just want to pray that you would bless the family circle once again and put your loving arms around them, O Lord. And now, Father, be with us as we go to the graveside. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion both this day and forevermore. Amen.